What can a pandemic teach us about climate change? I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner, here with ClimateCast. There are still many unanswered questions about the COVID-19 pandemic. One is, how will the virus react to our summer season climate in the Northern Hemisphere? And there may be other links between climate change, land use, food supply, and viruses. Dr. Aaron Bernstein is the director of the Center for Climate, Health, and the Global Environment at the Harvard School of Public Health. Aaron, welcome to ClimateCast.
Nice to be here.
Let's start with the summer season just ahead. What do we know about how this virus will operate in summer in the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, I think, Paul, you hit the nail on the head, which is that we don't know for sure. There's some reason to believe that warmer temperatures will slow it down. Some of the research that showed that also suggested that it won't slow down enough to prevent it from getting transmitted widely.
Is virus behavior in general in summer more of a function of temperature, or is it changing human behavior and being outside more?
We know that some viruses do like certain temperatures better than others, and also the humidity of the air can also matter. For example, influenza does pretty well in the late winter when it's dry and cold out. But as you also point out, we're also stuck inside in close quarters, and that, you know, enables things to spread as well.
What is it about a virus that doesn't like warm or hot and humid weather?
You know, I'm not sure we know exactly. In many cases, it's what we observe, a seasonal pattern. It may be that heat inactivates viruses. It may be that more ultraviolet radiation inactivates viruses. The other side, though, is that we know that heat matters to health in other ways and can really affect the same people that are at most risk from COVID, namely older people. And so we have a sort of perfect storm right now in terms of heat risk, because the places we would normally ask people to go to as cooling centers when there's heat waves are probably not the places people want to go because of the COVID risk. We also know that poorer households have borne the brunt of the economic losses and job losses. We know that those same people in our country have the greatest share of their incomes going to utility bills, which means they may be more reluctant to turn on air conditioning during heat. And we know that people haven't been able to access medical care because they're either worried about going to see the doctor for infectious risk or other reasons. And so in the event that we do see heat events that are potentially causing people to get sick and needing medical care, the economic piece, I think, about how much air conditioning costs and how that affects poor people potentially more, we can do stuff preemptively to provide reimbursement for energy costs or subsidies for energy costs, including for air conditioning.
Yeah, it makes sense. What key indicators will you be watching for over the next few months with COVID-19?
Well, I think a big one is how we choose to use our taxpayer dollars to stimulate, you know, our economies back in gear. A good example of this was when the automakers were bailed out in the Great Recession. As part of that bailout package, they were required to improve fuel economy standards. Mm-hmm. Well, that meant people paid less for their, you know, they were able to get cars that cost them less for fuel expenses. And transportation is a large and growing share of the nation's carbon emission. And so this is the kind of investment where, you know, essentially everybody winds up winning.
Dr. Aaron Bernstein, director of the Center for Climate, Health, and the Global Environment at the Harvard School of Public Health, thanks so much for being on ClimateCast today.
Thanks so much for having me, Paul.